If you will, stay right there for just a moment in Luke chapter 5. We'll begin in just a moment at that scripture. Thank you so much for everyone's attendance. And thank you to our mothers. As Jamie mentioned in our prayers, the thankfulness that we need to have for our mothers. And I love the statement that he said in the prayer. The love that mothers have for their children is just a small hint of God's love for us. And I love the way he phrased that. And amen to that. Like I said, I'm thankful for our mothers. And I heard recently, or I think I read recently, that this was it's a pretty good statement. If evolution were true, mothers would have more than two arms. And took a couple of y'all a second to figure that one out. But anyway, but it is... So many hats that mothers have to wear, and we're just so thankful to them for that. And so thank you so much. And as Galatians 6 verse 9 says, do not grow weary in well-doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep loving. Keep serving in that way. And we're just so thankful. Today we're going to talk about Simon Peter, a character study in growth. And we're later on in our lesson, we're going to focus on this word right here, growth. Jamie also mentions prayer about our need for growth. And so we're going to look at Simon Peter. He's a character that I know that I relate to, and when I think about my own life, and I know so many other people do as well. So we're going to not look at every single scene that Simon Peter's mentioned in the Bible. We would be here for over 3 hours, and I know our mothers do not want to be tending to their children for that long. So we're going to keep it short. We're going to just hit some of the highlights and make our points, and then the lesson will be yours. We started out here in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 that Preston read for us, where Peter chooses to follow Jesus. And as we read there, if you'll look at verse 10, after Peter falls down at his knees and is just overwhelmed, realizing that this Jesus is somebody special. This Jesus is somebody I'm not worthy to be in the presence of. Peter, I guess we could describe him in a way that he was the Jewish version of a good old boy redneck. He was a working class person. He was a fisherman. That's the way he made his daily living. We know that he was brought up in the Jewish faith, and it was ingrained in him because when we read in the book of Acts, when God tells him to rise, Peter, kill, and eat, and he sees all these unclean animals, he said, I can't do that. It was so ingrained in him, he couldn't kill an unclean animal. So he had been brought up in the Jewish faith, and he was that type of person. We also know from his character that he was somewhat impulsive. He was, one word you could never describe Peter as, is being timid. Oftentimes when conversations were going on with the apostles, Peter usually, 9 times out of 10, was the one speaking. He was the one that was speaking up for the group. So he just kind of had that bold personality. And so there's a lot of things that are good qualities about Peter. He had a lot of courage. He did have faith. And we see his faith growing as we read through the scriptures about Peter. And so Jesus tells him in verse 10, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Jesus is going to teach Peter about how his purpose is going to be changing. How his purpose is to follow him. And it says in verse 11, they, and that includes Peter, forsook all and followed him. So that was a very important decision that Peter makes, just the decision to follow Jesus. And so we'll start right there. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 11, Luke chapter 6 verse 14, Simon, whom he also called Peter, and Andrew's brother and Saul, and he goes on to list all the apostles that Jesus chose. Jesus had prayed all night about all these disciples that were following him, and he was going to select 12 men to be his, do a special work as an apostle. And Peter was the very first one that was mentioned. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 24 through 31, we can turn there. Matthew 14, begin with verse 24. This is one of the more famous scenes that we see with Peter. Begin with verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." So he said, "Come." Then Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. And they saw that the wind was boisterous. And he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" I've heard lots of sermons on this short little passage and a lot of applications that we can make to our lives. But one thing that you see in Peter here, I just always have wondered, what made him come up with the idea to ask Jesus, "If it's really you, let me come to you"? I mean, there were 11 other guys still in the boat, and Peter has the faith in the Lord to step out on that water. That's pretty consistent with the personality of Peter. And then we know from the scene that we just read is that he kept his eyes on Jesus. He was focused. He's putting his faith in the Lord. And he was walking on that water just like Jesus was, no problem. But then, as we've heard lessons, he got distracted by some of the, and his faith started to sink. And he literally began to sink. But he relied on Jesus to save him there. And they got back into the boat. Another scene that we can look at is there in John chapter 6. You can turn there real quick. John chapter 6. You'll remember, this was occasion that Jesus was speaking to several, many, many of his disciples. And he was talking in figurative language and talking about, if you're going to be worthy of me, you're going to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And these folks were thinking literally. And it was, as the scripture says, that's a hard saying. They weren't willing to accept that. And so many people decided that they were going to leave. Look at verse 66. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, Peter had the boldness and the courage, even when people were leaving, their commitment was starting to fail. Peter said, "Where else are we going to go? You're the Christ. You're the ones that has the words of eternal life. We can't go anywhere else." And that shows the level of commitment that a lot of people don't have. A lot of these people did not have. And Peter chooses, even though others are leaving, he's going to continue to follow Jesus, even when things maybe don't make sense to him. But he understands that Jesus is the Christ. And he states that in Matthew chapter 16 when they're in the area of Caesarea Philippi. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. This famous confession happened not very long after the statement there in John. In Matthew chapter 16, let's look at verses 13 through 19. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus makes the good confession that we all are going to make one way or the other. We're either going to make it in this life, which is what the Lord would prefer. We're going to make that confession, and I believe that Jesus Christ, and I'm going to submit to Him. Or on the other side of eternity, where we every knee shall bow. It's our choice. Peter decides to make the confession right here. And also, we get a hint of Peter's role in that's going to be coming up in the book of Acts about the keys to the kingdom. As we're going to be seeing there in Acts chapter 2, Peter being the one chosen by the Lord to give that sermon, the first gospel sermon, to establish the Lord's church. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, another scene. As we're getting near to the end of Jesus' life here on earth, in Luke chapter 9, verse 28 through 36, we're going to read this, and we're going to see some more consistencies of Peter's character on this occasion. Luke chapter 9, begin verse 28. Now it came to pass, about 8 days after these sayings, they took Peter, John, and James, and went on to the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, he saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. A voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but he kept quiet and told no one in those days any things that he had seen. You can imagine that you have Peter, James, and John, Jesus' inner circle. Those three apostles were with Jesus on some of these very important occasions. And Jesus' glory is shown. You also see Jesus speaking with two great Old Testament prophets, Moses and Elijah. And Peter, I want you to focus on the phrase at the end of verse 33. Not knowing what he said. Peter, this is consistent with Peter's personality. Here he sees this awesome, and I'm using that word in a correct context, an awesome scene of Jesus' glory. And Peter doesn't know what to say, but he feels like he's got to say something. And so he comes up with this idea. Let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And then the voice of the Lord, the Father, I believe, in verse 35 says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." The message being, you know, as great as Moses and Elijah are, they're men. They're men. They're not God. They're not divine. My Son is divine. He's the one to be worshipped. Hear him. And so Peter talks about this in one of his books, in 1st or 2nd Peter. He talks about being on that holy mountain. This occasion made a huge impact on Peter. Let's continue on. This is one of the saddest scenes because of the boldness that Peter has when he says, if I should have to die with you, Lord, I will never forsake you. I'll never deny you. And let's read what it says here in Matthew chapter 26 at this occasion. We'll use Matthew's version of this. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came and said to him, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to him, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately, the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. I believe we can say, without a shadow of a doubt, this was the lowest point in Peter's life. I can't think of another occasion where Peter had a lower point than this right here. Because he had just said, just a couple hours before this happened, I won't deny you. I will die with you. And then Christ warned him before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And that's exactly what happened. And he went out and wept bitterly. There's a lesson for us here. Several. Number one, let's not be too, I guess you could say, no pun intended, cocky. Sorry. About our commitment to the Lord. We could say all day, I would never do that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't treat my wife that way. I wouldn't. Take heed, lest you fall. That's what happened to Peter. Another lesson is, as low as this moment was, a comeback is always possible through the Lord. You know, this was a critical moment in Peter's life. Just like as Judas gave up, Peter doesn't. You know what we can just imagine the struggle that Peter went through internally as he was making his way back to serving the Lord. How difficult, the guilt that he felt, and how he must have had feelings of, I'll never be able to recover from this. But through Christ, he was able to. But only through Christ. So we may be at a point in our life, and if you're at a point in your life that you feel like you just cannot be forgiven, that's Satan talking. Don't listen to Satan. You can come back. You can be forgiven. You can be restored, but only through Jesus Christ. There's some important lessons for us there. As we said, Peter is restored by the Lord. Let's go to John chapter 21. This is an occasion after the resurrection up in Galilee. And I'm going to begin reading verse 15. And when he had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved when he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And then he goes on and tells him a little bit more. I think there's some significance, and I think we've studied this before, of Peter denying the Lord three times and the Lord asking Peter three times, do you love me? Reaffirming to Peter, hey, I forgive you, but I've got work for you to do. I need you, Peter. I need you to and it, not necessarily that he needed Peter, but he decided to use Peter to establish the Lord's church in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, along with the other apostles who were speaking in tongues, and everybody there heard this message in their own language through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so this would be one of the most important historical moments, and Peter was the one the Lord chose to do this work. We know that Peter suffers persecution for Christ's sake. I got several scriptures up there. We're not going to go through them all, but if you want to write them down, leave them up there for just a moment. But you see the boldness. This is the type of personality that Peter had, and it was perfect for this type of work. The boldness that Peter had and John had as they stood before these leaders and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We're going to do what the Lord wants us to do. Yeah, you can beat us. You can do this. You can throw us in prison. You can do all these things to us, but we're not stopping. We're not going to stop preaching God's word. And so you see the Lord working in Acts chapter 12 of getting Peter out of prison so he can continue his work. You see them being beaten and then rejoicing that they had an occasion to suffer shame for Christ's sake. You see that boldness. So even though that Peter was impulsive and he was bold, the Lord figured out a way to use that to help start the Lord's work there in the book of Acts. But Peter has another setback. I want you to remember that it was in Acts chapter 10 that Peter was the one that's instrumental in bringing the Gentiles in to the kingdom of God with preaching to Cornelius. The Lord used a vision to help Peter along with this. And then Peter defended this in Acts chapter 11, and he told what had happened, and they glorified God because of it, that, hey, the Gentiles are to be part of God's kingdom. It's not just the Jews. It is for the gospel is for all. And so Peter had a huge part in this. But in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, Paul writes about an occasion when Peter had an opportunity to associate with some of his Gentile brethren, and he withdrew, and it was a purposeful. It wasn't something accidental. He purposely withdrew a little bit, and there in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul writes, "And now when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed." So Paul had to rebuke Peter on this occasion and tell them, the way you're acting towards your Gentile brethren is unacceptable. And Paul understood the importance of this in the young church, how important it was, because Jews and Gentiles were already having a difficult time coming together in Christ, and it was so important for Peter to openly embrace his Christian brethren that were Gentiles and become one in Jesus Christ. How important that was. So Peter had that setback, and Peter, we have all indication that he repented of that and made that right. We know that Peter writes two books of the New Testament, and if you'll look at the second, especially the second letter that Peter wrote, you see the theme of growth. Who better to talk about the subject of growth than Simon Peter, because he grew so much in his work for the Lord. If you're there in 2 Peter chapter 1, you'll see those things that we're to grow in. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and so forth and so on. All these areas of growth that we're to grow in. I mean, who better to talk about that than Peter, because he's done that. He's grown. Yes, we're going to have setbacks in our life, but we need to grow. There's a mathematical problem that I heard one time about a frog being in a hole, a 10-foot hole, and that if the frog were to jump up 2 feet and slide down one, how many jumps would it take him to get out? The answer is 10. But he would jump up two and slide down one, jump up two, slide down one, jump up, and eventually gets out of the hole. So sometimes that's the way it might work for us. We may, in our growth as Christians, we may jump 2 feet, but then slide back one. We make errors. We make mistakes. We need to jump two more. Slide back. Jump. So that's kind of my thought process on the area of growth. Now, Peter does, from history, Fox's Book of Martyrs tells us about the death of Peter. I'll just read what it says and you can read with me. "Among many other saints, the blessed apostle Peter was condemned to death and crucified, as some do right, at Rome, albeit some others, and not without cause, do doubt thereof. Hegel saith that Nero sought matter against Peter to put him to death, which when the people perceived, they entreated Peter to much ado that he would fly the city. Peter threw their inopportunity at length to persuade, prepared himself to avoid, but come to the gate, he saw the Lord Christ come to meet him, to whom he was worshiping, and said, "Lord, whither dost thou go?" To whom he answered and said, I am come again to be crucified. By this Peter, perceiving his suffering to be understood, returned into the city. Jerome saith that he was crucified, his head being down and his feet upward, himself so requiring, because he said, unworthy to be crucified after the same form and manner as the Lord was. Now, this is not an inspired account. This is from history, that he was crucified and he was requested to be crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to die the same type of death that the Lord was. So whatever the occasion was, Peter, from all indications, did die martyr for the Lord's cause. And this verse is the culminating verse of our lesson. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And it's an encouragement to all of us. And notice the word in red, grow. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. I hope that this lesson about our brother in Christ, Peter, is an inspiration to all of us to grow, to not get discouraged by setbacks, but to turn around and come back to the Lord again and again and again. And it might be that you might be in a situation where you never have come to the Lord. You never have obeyed him in baptism. If that be the case, we can do that right now and start your journey of growth and growing in the Lord. And maybe you've done that in the past and you've had another one of those terrible setbacks. And you just feel like, I can't do this alone. And you don't have to. You have brethren here that will pray with you. And with the Lord's help, you can overcome these things. Whatever your situation, whatever your needs are, we ask you to please come while we stand.